Bitcoin bull, you might like this news. Fidelity Investments plan to allow investors to put a Bitcoin account in their 401ks, the first major retirement plan provider to do so. It'll be up to employers that use Fidelity to decide whether to put Bitcoin on the menu of options. Under the plan, Fidelity would allow savers to allocate as much as 20% of their retirement savings to Bitcoin. The company expects to expand offerings to other digital assets in the future. The price of Bitcoin right now is $40,493. It had been at $38,000 just yesterday. So maybe moving a little bit on that news. Pretty amazing. I don't know if I want up to 20%, but I imagine employers might control that. I mean, it's whether it's on the menu unto itself, and then B, how much you could put in.
It's got a long way to go, as pointed out in some detail. With the Labor Department has issued guidelines that make it very difficult for employers to CYA if they were to do this. It says extreme caution, exercise extreme care before they consider adding a crypto option to 401k plans. If they do so, they could expect regulators to ask questions like, how the hell do your duties of prudence and loyalty with that guidance from the Labor Department, how do you square that?
Well, if you have employees who lose a lot of money in it, you might be on the hook
that
point for making them whole. And Bitcoin, which has soared, depending on when you got into it, is down, 40% from its highs?
Yep.
So I mean, you're talking about a pretty volatile move. However, this story in the Wall Street Journal does point out just how mainstream this has become. I think Fidelity estimates that there are 80 million U.S. individual investors who own at least some form of a digital currency, and that's pretty significant.
Well, the Labor Department guidance is so, I don't know, prohibitive that Fidelity, along with other trade groups, have written to the Labor Department asking to withdraw that guidance. So I don't know how widespread the adoption could be.
Abigail Johnson, who runs Fidelity, has been an early crypto and Bitcoin bull. So she's been running Fidelity. I think they've been wanting to do something like this for a long time. Also, curious
Fidelity's had a trading platform for this since 2018. Yeah. So they did get into this pretty early.
What the fee structure would be, I imagine it might be a higher fee on buying and selling Bitcoin.
Well, that's cynical.
One of the fascinating things that actually Warren Buffett has mentioned over the years, I think, Becky, is some of the 401k plans that charge high fees, charge low fees to the company, meaning high fees on to you, the individual, low fees on the company. The ones with low fees for the individuals usually charge high fees to the company. So it'd be very interesting to see what companies are willing to pay for this option, that's how it's structured.
Fidelity is a behemoth. And just in 401k assets, $2.7 trillion in assets under administration. And they do have, they're kind of crypto friendly, but they're kind of ahead of regulators were in the Labor Department. We'll see.
And you make the fair point. This is going to be up to employers as to whether or not they want to go head to head with it.
Happy Bitcoin Tuesday, freaks. It's your boy Odell here for another Citadel Dispatch, the interactive live show about Bitcoin, freedom, privacy, and open source software. As always, Dispatch is 100% audience funded without ads or sponsors, purely focused on actionable discussion. Thank you all who continue to support the show and make it possible for me to run Dispatch week over week without any corporate sponsors. Easiest way for you to support the show is through podcasting 2.0 apps. My two favorites are Fountain Podcasts and Breeze Wallet. You simply download the app, load it up with sats, subscribe to Citadel Dispatch, and then you choose how many sats per minute you think Dispatch is worth it, and they stream those sats directly to my node. If you prefer to use a different podcasting app, I really like AntennaPod, which is fully open source Just a really fantastic app. And you can still support the show using my BTC Pay instance at SyllaDispatch.com. Lightning and on-chain is supported. I also have a BIP47 payment code there. If you are using a BIP47 supporting wallet, such as Samurai or Sparrow, you can pay on-chain via that. If you don't want to part with your sats, I do understand. You can still support the show by subscribing on your favorite podcasting app. It's literally on every podcast app. You just search Scylla Dispatch. Dispatch is also broadcast via video live on Twitch and Bitcoin TV with all archives on BitcoinTV.com. Last but not least, shout out to all the freaks who join us in the live chat during the show. Our live chat is self-hosted on Matrix. The easiest way to get there is CitadelDispatch.com and clicking that Citadel chat link. We have over 1,000 ride or die Bitcoiners in this chat. It definitely pops when we are live, and we love the participation that happens during those during these live shows, but it's also constantly just having really great Bitcoin conversation and associated topics during the week. So consider joining us. It is a really great chat, and it's, you know, I know when I say the word matrix, a bunch of you freak the fuck out and think I'm overwhelmed, I can't handle it. Just follow the steps. It's easier than you think it is. Okay, well, with all that said, we have a very important topic today, a very timely topic. And that is building a censorship-resistant alternative to Twitter. The project in this case is called Nostr, or it's pronounced some way. No one really knows because it was born online in text. We can debate how it's supposed to be pronounced pretty soon. But we have three great guys joining us who have dove deep into Nostr to join us for this conversation and go through the ins and outs of what trade-offs lie with Nostr and what it attempts to solve. So with all that said, I will introduce our first guest, who is a return guest, Fiat Jaff. How's it going, Fiat Jaff?
Going fine, yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming back on. I know you were a little bit hesitant, but it's
thank
great
you
to
for
have
inviting
you back.
Me. Yeah.
And we got JB55. Will, how's it going?
It's going well. It's great to be here.
Thanks for coming on. And we have Mr. Kooks. Mr. Kooks, how's it going?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So obviously, Twitter has been in the news recently because Elon Musk decided to purchase it. I guess before we go there, that intro conversation, that was CNBC. I know it's completely unrelated to this, but I just feel like I should mention that it existed. But if you were listening to that intro conversation, it was the Squawk Box hosts talking about Fidelity moving into the retirement account game in Bitcoin land. Because I guess most people are going to just hold Bitcoin with third parties and have a bunch of labor regulations attached to them. But that's for a whole different discussion. So anyway, Twitter was in the news today, this week. It's being bought by Elon Musk. All of a sudden, a bunch of people that disagree with the politics of Elon Musk realize that Twitter is a massive centralized third party, and whoever controls it controls the narrative that goes on Twitter and can silence voices they disagree with. Obviously, people who disagreed with the previous Twitter leadership have already dealt with that, and they're now happy that they have a new leader at Twitter. But you guys have all been quietly working on and building Nostr, which attempts to solve that centralized third party issue to a degree. So now more than ever, I think, you know, it is a very important topic for discussion, which is this idea of having essentially a technical solution to broad censorship of speech on the internet. So where should we start? What is, you want to, Fiat Jaff, you want to start with just a Nostr shill? Why should people care?
No, I don't know if they should care now that Elon Musk bought Twitter. We should just give up.
They should just give up.
and cancel. But no, yeah, I think Nostr is conceived as an idea that could work, like that could scale. It's not like the peer-to-peer fantasy that has been tried many times and failed, and because people don't want to run daemons on their computers that are online all the time, and they don't want to, because these peer-to-peer attempts that have been tried in the past, they all more or less require some involvement that most people won't have. So Nostr takes a different approach, and also it's a different approach from stuff like Mastodon, that because Mastodon has a problem that is the Mastodon servers, they own your identity, so you can't move very easily. You can be banned, and then you lose your audience, etc. And I think it combines these two things, like the public key cryptography with the idea of servers like floating around the internet and people using these rogue servers to connect to each other. Yeah, that's not a very good explanation, but it's the idea.
So if I recall correctly, I mean, obviously, Bitcoin Twitter has had a bunch of issues with Twitter censorship. I mean, I've been personally shadow banned for 4 months now. And just Bitcoin ideology in general, it's a little bit ridiculous that we're all basically relying on this massive centralized third party. So in the past, I mean, I think there's been maybe like 5 or 6 large attempted exoduses to Mastodon. Which is a Twitter alternative, that have essentially failed. I mean, people have moved over there, used them for a little bit, but everyone just kind of comes back to Twitter. And then Twitter itself announced their Blue Sky program, or their Blue Sky project, which is supposed to be separate of Twitter, that's trying to attempt to kind of solve the same thing. And then after that announcement, I feel like you, Fiat Jaff, got a little bit disillusioned. You were like, everything has trade-offs, and the trade-off balance they're making is just does not make any sense. And then you launched Nostr, right?
Yeah, the Blue Sky, I think it was launched so much time ago that I don't even remember what I thought. But to this day, they didn't publish what they're going to do. Like, they have no idea, or maybe they have, but they're not telling us what's the idea. But from the things I've read and people they hired, it's going to be something IPFS based or something very peer-to-peer.
Yeah, I joined their Discord, and it was just very like a lot of nonsense, a lot of shitcoinery. I'm sorry, like Blue Sky people, if you're like really sincere about it, but like last time I joined their Discord, I'm like, are these guys serious? Like, I don't know, it was just disappointing. So luckily, we have Nostr as an alternative.
Yeah, like 6 months after the Blue Sky thing was announced, I think I came up with Nostr, and I sent to a bunch of people to talk about. And then I think someone from Twitter, a guy, contacted me and told me to join a private Blue Sky chat. And then I joined there, and all I saw was a bunch of, like, there were like 20 people there. And each of these were creators of peer-to-peer projects that were trying to do more or less the same thing. And they were just talking about their own projects. And I saw, like, how can a new protocol emerge from this? Like, these people, they all have their own interests, and there's nothing that's going to emerge from this.
Yeah, what I really liked about when I first jumped in and started reading the Nostr, I really recommend people go to Fiat Jaff's GitHub repository and read the motivation which kind of spawned this idea. And it really just comes out of all the pain points, because we're all really just searching for this decentralized protocol that will be the Twitter replacement. And maybe Mastodon or ActivityPub was, you know, it was a potential solution, but it has so many censorship problems, if not worse censorship problems than even Twitter. So I really like how, you know, his post on his GitHub repository really explains why, and I'm sure we'll get into that, but some of the motivations behind its creation. So
Well, I mean, let's unpack that a little bit, right? So, I mean, I think everyone knows why Twitter has censorship issues, because it's literally just run by a company that can choose what happens and what doesn't happen. What are the issues present? So everything has trade-offs, right? What are the trade-offs? What are the issues with the Mastodon activity sub approach?
So maybe I could explain through my lived experience of going through multiple Mastodon instances. What you really have is these small communities, and this is fine. You have these small communities where people they like to talk to each other. So one example is the Bitcoin hackers community, and you typically talk about Bitcoin, and that's fine. But it's really hard to find a non-politically charged community within Mastodon. So if you feel if it feels like if you ever step out of line for like that of that particular political alignment of that instance, you're banned. And once you're banned, it's kind of hard to move your followers, move your list to a new instance. You can do it, but it's just a pain in the ass. So I feel like I'm constantly have anxiety when I'm on Mastodon, because I'm like, oh, I'm always trying to like, I'm thinking that I'm forced myself to censor myself more than I would even on Twitter, which is, I don't feel like that was a good headset like place to be in. And I didn't really feel right if it's going to be the successor to the censorship resistant successor to Twitter. So.
Yeah, my experience from Mastodon, I joined a Mastodon instance many years ago. It's called Tut.cafe. I don't know how to pronounce this. Anyway, I just found this and joined. The guy was saying, oh, I'm accepting people here, so I joined. And then I started using that to talk to the Bitcoin people more recently. And the guy, the owner of the instance, sent me a message saying that some things I was saying were not allowed on his system, his instance. So I just stopped using. I think he didn't ban me, but he threatened to ban me. So it was very sad. But one thing, one problem with Mastodon, like if they want to ban you, you have no recourse and you can't move your followers. There's a thing to move followers, but I don't know how it works. It only works if the server cooperates with you. So.
You need to get permission from the server admin to actually move your context to the other server, and you need to get permission from the other server as well to go through that whole migration process.
Right. I mean, that's got to be the key failure of Mastodon, right? That it's hard to move your own data.
Yeah. Well, another fail I see is like their model of replicating content between servers, because if there's a bunch of servers, but people from each server are following people from other servers, then it ends up like all servers having to archive and store all the content from all the other servers. And it goes against the idea they had that are niche servers, that niche, how do I say this? Niche, whatever. Small servers with communities that you talk inside, but you always want to talk to other communities too. You don't always, you can't choose a community and be there forever. Like, so you end up spreading content around multiple servers. And I think this is not good for scalability. And Noster solves this in a nice way. Like in my mind, you don't have this yet, but I imagine there will be Noster relays for small communities. And the content will be there only. The content doesn't have to propagate to all the other servers.
Yeah, and another big issue is that federated instances would just ban like outright like whole instances. So like I felt like Bitcoin hackers was mostly isolated from the Fediverse because most instances would just ban it for like right wing content or something, even though it's pretty it's mostly about Bitcoin stuff. So I don't know, it's just a lot of issues.
It's the probably the boiling oceans thing, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we saw, I mean, the biggest example of that was Gab uses Mastodon, and their instance is like completely blocked off from the rest of the network almost immediately by the other instances. They just block you off, which is just, it's kind of ironic, just, you would think that like most Mastodon servers would be led by people who value free speech, but for whatever reason, their community over there is just not
very far left, I found, just politically, yeah. which I felt very like, it felt very strange for me because there's like a lot of extremist, like pro censorship people, which was like bizarre. I don't know.
It's weird how that happened. Like just that the culture developed in a different way. I mean, like a lot of what we talk about on Dispatch is open source code, but at the end of the day, you know, there's also a degree on who is running the code and what their principles are. But anyway, so Mastodon has been around for a while. It seems like it has a lot of technical debt. It's pretty bloated. Their trade-off decisions didn't really seem like they made the best trade-off decisions. And so you decided to start from scratch with different trade-offs. So how does Nostr work under the hood?
Well, the basic idea is that you have a client and the client talks to servers, different servers or a single server, multiple servers, and you fetch posts from these servers and you send posts out. And everything is signed. Everybody has a public key and you sign and you verify signatures. And that's it. That's the basic idea.
So how does that look in practice? Like I went to, I'm a Nostr noob. I kind of on principle, the only social media I have left is Twitter. And I kind of on principle was like, I don't want to do any other social media. I'm just going to let Twitter die and then be done with social media and just have like group chats. But then for this show, I obviously was like, well, I got to play around with it before we have Nostr show. And all the freaks wanted to talk about Nostr. I think it's a really cool project. I have been like loosely following it, but I haven't really played around with it at depth. So I'm going to be leaning on you guys, but like from a noob perspective, I went to like this website. Is it run by you, VHF? It's like Blinky or something. You know what I'm talking Bronley, about?
Maybe. Bronley.
Yeah,
bronley.netlify.app.
Yeah, yeah. That's the first client I did, like a proof of concept thing. Actually, I had done others before, but they were very bad. So this one works.
So you're running that server, right?
No, that's a client. Like that runs entirely on the code side. Yeah. It's served by Netlify. That is
it's
just.
Oh, but it's running in my browser.
Yeah, it's running in your browser.
You can run that on your machine locally. Like you don't need to trust the VHF server at all.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I don't even use like Bronley. I just use like my command line to do posts and my iOS cool. app that I'm working on. So it's like you have a lot of variety on types of clients you can choose.
So the servers in question are the relay servers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I guess, where my client is broadcasting my shit posts.
Yeah, your brand comes by default subscribed to like five different relay servers, and when you try to read, like when you post something, you send to all of them, whatever they are said they accept or not. They for now they all will take your posts, and. And you follow someone, you follow by pub key, and then you send a message to all the servers you know. And they, do you have anything from this pub key? And the servers will send you. And then the client will show your home screen, basically that. Then you visit a profile of someone, it will ask again to the server, like, what do you have from this specific guy? And then they will send you.
Yeah, so I think like some one distinction to point out and why this is really interesting compared to the other approaches is that you don't actually have to do a lot to get into the system, right? So to create an account, you just generate a private key. So your public key becomes like your account ID, and then you can just send a message. Obviously this is also could be a downside where you have bots could be creating accounts and messages all the time. But there are some ideas on how this is going to not be an issue in the future with like proof of work and paid relays. These relays are just very dumb, right? They take in events. You can subscribe to events. So it based off of certain keys. So if I wanted to follow all updates to people sending me notes, then I can just subscribe to my pub key. And then I'll only get events from my pub key. Or if I want to filter it even further, I can say, you know, I want to just listen for all encrypted DMs and maybe not specifically, you know, random notes. So it's just a very flexible protocol for querying documents from a server and filtering it based off of things you're interested in. And it does it in real time. So it has this real-time aspect, this publish subscribe aspect where you can just receive them in real time, which is nice for chat rooms and things like that. So
yeah.
So with Nostr, I mean, it's very simple to just kind of create any model you want. Like if you want to create the Twitter model where you just have an account, you create a which translates to just creating a private key, and then you have a public key, and that's your username, and messages on Twitter. So if you want to create the Twitter model, it's basically to create a tweet. It's just you create one event, which is signed by your username. You push it to a relay, and that would be basically like twitter.com. But you can actually create like a federated system as well. So it's like, let's say you don't like Twitter, you want to have your own world. You can do twitter2.com, and that would be another relay, and just post your messages there as well. So it's kind of, it's very easy to model it after basically any live directory of messages. Like the way I was looking at Nostr at first was more like a marketplace or like a directory of sorts. Some of the tests I was doing first, like some prototypes for clients for my own self, was more like just emulating Reddit just for the sake of having something a little bit different than a Twitter clone. And everything is just really easy to translate between things, because Reddit is really kind of the same system as a Twitter post. And then you just have replies and communities. So it's like traded replies in different areas. I don't know. Maybe I'm ranting a bit.
No, you know, but that's what makes it somewhat interesting, is that these notes that you're posting can be viewed and interpreted in different ways. So, you know, let's say I do a post and one client might interpret it as a tweet. And it has some additional features on the note, which is you can reference other notes. So you instantly, from that, you get replies, right? So now you can reference a thread and then you can reply to users within a thread. So this is what Bronley and Damas, my client, that's what it kind of renders Twitter-like threads. But you could also use it for other things. Like you could have your server generating events for your business, right? And this is one idea I had where, let's say you run a private relay for your organization, and there's different, you know, systems that are generating events within your organization, and you can maybe retweet that within your organization or like reply to it and like CC people in your organization. But this could all be within your internal relay that you could maybe even, if you want to, you can selectively publish it to the outside world. So there's all these, in some sense, it's just a generic information relay system where you can reply, where notes are linked and notes can be interpreted in different ways depending on your client. So another example would be, imagine you create another view for that thread. Instead of a tweet thread, it's now a document editor. So each post within that Twitter thread is now like a paragraph in a document, which is you are now collaboratively editing, because there's no reason why you can't have edit events that unmodify other events. So I think the great thing about Nostr is that it doesn't spec any of this. It just specs this really dumb relay protocol for notes, but you can write a variety of clients that are all kind of interop with each other, which is really fascinating to think what that could bring about.
I mean, at the base level, it's just cryptographically signed messages being broadcast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically this. But then we have like a very, very small spec of the basic format for these messages. And then we have like optional specs that... They're just if someone wants to interrupt, yeah, like if they want to, two clients want to implement the same thing and be compatible with each other, you could have like the direct messages thing or group messages or Twitter-like stuff. But then you can render that as Reddit stuff, or you can have like messages that are meant to be rendered just only as Reddit threads, not as Twitter posts, for example. And then the client needs to support the Reddit thing to render these. And I think a multitude of clients render, like having different interfaces will arise, but they all will talk the same interface with the relays. And I think this interoperability, automatic interoperability would be very nice.
Yeah, and one thing that and since nothing is really spec'd, I've been actually working on a few NIPs right now. So those are what we're calling they're kind of like similar to BIPs, but they're Nostra improvement proposals. So you get a little chuckle on that one, but there's some things that are just not spec'd, such as block lists. So that would be an easy spec to add. Just being able to upload a list of pub keys that you blocked on your user. I'm working on the boost spec, so be able to like retweet, also edit messages. I think there's a delete note. So like just, you could publish a note that says delete this note, and then it just deletes a note, or edit the note. Yeah, we can get editing. We don't have to wait for someone to buy Twitter for $44 billion and to get editing. We can just implement that. It's an open protocol. Anyone can propose stuff. So I think that's what I really like about Nostra, is that it can be incrementally improved upon. Or even just this morning, I had this idea where, imagine if I wanted to show what you wanted to show lightning tips on a note. Maybe you would just give the note ID and your pub key and put that in a lightning invoice. And then that lightning node can send a Nostra event saying that, hey, I was paid. And then clients can then read that note and display the tips on a note. So there's like so much like innovation that could happen on this protocol, which I'm fascinated about.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because most of the functionality happens on the client side. So the relay really doesn't have to know about any new features you add. Like, as long as the relay is just accepting messages that are signed properly by a private key, like, it doesn't matter if you built like a whole, decentralized exchange on it or something, it will just work. Like, as long as the client's obviously supported, but it will just work straight away. Like, you don't have to wait for a server to update at all. And even going back to like if the basic construct of systems is the same, you can easily have a cross-compatible different view. So if you have Twitter, Reddit, a message board, all using Nostra as the protocol, they could easily just be cross-compatible with just very different views for the user.
Yeah, like one example would be, imagine you could reboost a Reddit comment, and then I could see that in Twitter, and people could be replying to it on Twitter, but it would also show up on the Reddit side. So these are the things you could do on an open protocol.
Now, one thing I did that no one used because it was very shitty is that extension, you can comment on pages, and then you can add a comment to any page, and it shows on your brand whatever, your client feed, but it adds a tag with the website, and if the client knows, it should show that the website you're commenting on. And that could also be the same format, message format, could be used for someone that just wants a comment section on their website. They just embed a widget that sends comments to Nostra, and this is what you would like show on people's feed.
I wouldn't say it's shitty. I think the issue right now is that literally no one is using Nostra. Like I subscribe to like the global feed on my app, and like no one's using it. So I think that's the bigger issue right now. Not that it's a bad idea.
It's all shitty regardless of that.
It depends as well on which relays you're listening to, right? So, I mean,
it's true, yeah.
Somebody could be running a relay, like Twitter could be running on a Nostra relay and you wouldn't know either.
Yeah, if Twitter wants to implement a Nostra, like a read-only Nostra relay, that would be amazing, because then I could just subscribe to everyone I'm subscribed to on Twitter, and then I could stop using the Twitter app.
Well, I mean, supposedly Elon listens to the show, so hopefully he implements that.
All right, Elon, get on this.
So you mentioned something there. You subscribe to a global feed. So like my first two pain points that I noticed, one of them was discovery. How do I subscribe to a global feed?
Yeah, so I was talking, because Francis mentioned this as well when he joined. He's like, how do I find people to follow? So there's a bunch of different ways. So, I subscribe to the global feed. This is not going to work once, Nostra gets any amount of popular, because it'll just be a fire hose of events. But for now, it's fine. Like, it's like at the bootstrapping days. So all you do is you need a client that does this. The client that I'm working on does this one, which I'm hopefully going to release soon. But you just simply do a query that subscribes on everything.
Got it. And so the Brandly client doesn't support that right now.
Right. For probably good reason, you know, because it probably will break in the future. But for discoverability, it's really nice because I always just say hi when people say hi. So it's good to have that at the start. But
yeah, it feels really lonely when you first launch it.
Yeah,
it's really easy to do it. So, I mean, Nostr has this thing called tags where if you just do a tag saying, I don't know, maybe mentioning Bitcoin or something, you can easily do a filter that just finds everybody posting about Bitcoin in one go.
When you first join Twitter, what do you get? Because everybody says it's lonely, but if you open a new Twitter account, it would be very lonely, no?
That's they put a bunch of like promoted shit in front of you, like the algo. Yeah, but
that's worse than lonely.
So I recently did this. I created an account. I didn't follow anyone, and the thing, and they would just put furry in my feed. I'm like furry shit. I'm like, what is like? Is this the like what? Why is it the default thing they're putting in my feed? I don't know.
Clearly,
like,
you're not using a VPN and you enjoy furries. So.
I guess so. I don't know. It's very strange.
The way you build a feed on Twitter should be done on Nostr too. It's like you find someone you like and you add that manually, and then you watch as they interact with others and you pick people and start following other people. The other thing is like, how do you choose the relays you're going to subscribe to? And I think this is a bigger problem, but also a very fun problem to work on.
Yeah, fortunately, right now most relays seem to be mirroring each other. I mean, so you can actually write a script that like does a query that pulls all the events from one relay and pushes it to another relay. So it seems like some people are running those right now, but that is a big issue. That if someone is trying to send me a message and they don't know what relays I'm connected to, then I won't see their message. So there is a way we somewhat handle that in the contact list. You can put in like what relays I typically connect to, so people know where to send the notes that it'll get to me.
Even the domain, like even in the messages, you've got that recommended relay thing, right? So it does help as well a bit. Like if you find someone at some point, like if you find a message you actually are interested to interact with, you can easily find there is some data involved there where it can tell you to just connect to a different relay to actually get the full list of related data to it, right? So that could work out. I don't know if people actually use the recommended relay list though.
Yeah, I haven't implemented this in my client yet, but I do plan on add relays to the relay pool whenever I see them. It's just, it's more work on the client side.
Yeah, I mean, in practice, most people just use whatever relays are set as default in whatever client they're using.
Yeah, I mean, it depends if you're trying to do something very specific, because eventually, from my perspective, Nostr is a fun toy to play with if you're trying to build a Twitter or a social media clone, but I think there's much better use cases as well long-term. Like, so you might end up connecting to relays that do very specific use cases. Like, so I work in BTC Pay, right? Like, what's one thing I want to build at some point? Probably having BTC Pay server instances talk to each other to do some, I don't know, coordination of some sort. I would intend to use like Nostr for that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, isn't there like a join market? There's like a join market coordination, like Bounty.
Yeah, you can do that stuff too. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like join market would be an awesome candidate for using Nostr as well. Instead of IRC, you could just switch over to using a Nostr relay to broadcast your bids and offers.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and another thing I've set up is a private relay on my WireGuard VPN at home, and my Bitcoin node, whenever it gets a transaction, it'll create a Nostr event. And whenever my C-Lightning node gets like paid, it'll send out a Nostr event. And only my client on my phone that's connected over VPN can see those events. So they'll just show up like in my Twitter feed or whatever, my Nostr feed. But I can.
Sure only you can see those events? I thought I saw them when I was.
I've implemented a feature in Damas, which allows you to rebroadcast private events to a public relays. So anytime you see them, it's a very small subset. It's things I'm choosing to publish, so that's another kind of cool use case where it's like you can have a private Twitter feed for your events.
So just to answer the previous comment from Matt, the client shouldn't have a hard-coded list of relays. It should have a an easy way for people to add relays, yeah, or an automatic way, like based on some criteria to add new relays to your pool and remove others. And I think stuff like following a relay, but only for this specific person, and the other relays for other people, this kind of thing could be done. Sure. And for example, if you just follow a set of people and you know the relays they are in, but you also want to see replies to posts from random people, but you don't want spam. So for the replies only, you will follow only the relays that filter spam better, that they charge for posts or they ask for proof of work for posts. So the replies won't have spam on them. Stuff like that.
You implemented a relay with the cost concept, right, Fyodor?
Yeah, implemented a relay. You have paid 500 sets through.
Is that per post, or like does it whitelist your pub key? Because I'm pretty sure it's broken right now.
Yeah, it's a single payment. And you
okay. Okay, that's broken then, because I paid three times. It's not working, so you owe me money.
It's not working.
It's really a feature, not a bug.
I try. Well, it's not working.
Maybe it's offline. I don't know.
Rug pulled.
So that was my next question. So the two pain points that I immediately saw was discovery and spam. I mean, I didn't see any spam because there isn't really any right now.
No,
spam is definitely going to be a big issue if it gets adopted by any you know notable user base. It's going to be an issue for sure. So you can go for some hash cash kind of solution, but I don't think that would slow down bots in general, especially like even if you look at Twitter, you only notice like maybe 20 comments on every post you do, like, you know, trying to like even on the Citadel Dispatch post, it was like some random bot just saying look and some tiny URL link and trying to rug pull the shit out of you, but it's like only 10 of them. Hash cash ish kind of situations might not stop that because it's only 20 posts. They can probably do the proof of work easily enough.
So here's why I completely disagree, and I've been thinking about this a lot. So there's a really cool feature about me and Camry have been working on, so Camry, I think that's his name, he's another Nostra dev. We've been working on a proof of work system for Nostra events. So basically the way that it works is that we just you add a nonce tag to the note and you just keep increasing the nonce until you get a certain number of leading zero bits on the note ID. So what's interesting about this is that you can do interesting things with this. So for instance, if I created a thread and I said I want a certain number of leading zero bits to only show up on the replies of this thread, and you can make it really high, let's say like 50 bits, which is actually pretty hard, you could actually pay a miner to create this event for you, because the signatures, they don't commit, or the ID doesn't commit to the signature. It's just the pub key and the data of the note. So you can actually export proof of work to a service, and you could pay that service to do that work for you. And then, so this might be another roundabout way to like disentangle the payment method from paying for proof of work. For, you know, so the reason why this is interesting, because if I'm replying to a thread, the biggest issue on Twitter right now, like the most annoying thing, even with your, when you did this tweet, Adele, is like, you just get a million spam messages, right?
Yeah,
there's like
I
these
get
crypto
inundated
spammers
immediately.
So they can't do that because in Nostra, if you did use this proof of work system, because they would have to start doing the work immediately based off the ID of your post. So if you set it to something like 50 bits, they would either have to pay for that or get a miner to reply. I was thinking maybe using proof of work for to prevent those types of crypto spammers on threads might be interesting, but I don't think there's any implementation that does that yet, though.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the proof of work thing is interesting, but I think other approaches can be used. And in my opinion, you would do the filtering by relay, but you could also do the client. Anyway, clients can implement different approaches here. I think there are many ways, and they all will deliver some level of success.
Yeah, I'm scared that if you implement it on the client side, the bandwidth might be a bit much on the end user as well. Like, I mean, And also the relay as well, because then they'll just end up with, you know, a buttload of spam messages just saved to, and persisted to the server, right?
Yeah, it's like, even because I was considering running a public relay. I'm like, what are the things I have to think about? You know, you could just create, you know, botnets could just spam my relay, fill up my hard drive. So at the very minimum, I would want proof of work requirements for every node coming into the system.
You mean on the relay side, right?
Yeah, on the relay side, just for that, just to prevent like just people spamming my relay.
Yeah, I would do that as well as a base minimum as well. But also, so I started on my relay implementation. I started doing kind of like a balance concept for every pub key, and then you can configure the relay so that every pub key can have a cost associated to register it, just like Fiat Jeff system does, but also for every message, and every message kind type can have a different cost to it. Just to be able to control it a bit more. So for example, if somebody's just sending a message to a whitelisted amount of pub keys, then it could be free, or else it could be like, it could have a specific cost to it in sats. At least in my relay, it's the monetary basis sats. But I think some money penalty could be quite important to actually make sure that your data doesn't get overloaded, at least on your server, because I think spam bots will just try to wreck you.
Other approaches I think that could be fruitful are Google recapture for stupid people that don't use Bitcoin, and like invite-only relays for small communities with human moderators. Like this relay is only for football content and whatever, we will ban if you talk about other things. And stuff like maybe KYC, whatever. not recommending that one. But
we're going to solve the Nostr spam problem with KYC. That's the plan.
No, that's one possibility that we will allow people to do, but we won't recommend. And what was the other one? Like the algorithm. Someone could make a relay that has an algorithm that should respond, like Twitter tries.
Well, so the big difference here, one of the big differences here with something like Mastodon is it's all client side. So if I'm using like the private football relay, and I decide to talk about basketball and they ban me, I have my private public key pair and it's all client side. I can just switch relays and that's all I have to do. There's no.
So, yeah. And you would typically be connected to other relays. Like, so you would post it to that particular relay, but you'd also be posting it to other relays. So the other relays would all potentially be storing your messages as well. So if they banned you, you would still you could still pull all those messages from another relay. So and even just move them to another relay. So it's the data is much more movable in this architecture.
But is my client not keeping a copy of all my messages that I've sent?
It depends on your client, right? So you can always just copy all those events in one go, and just like if the client is saving all the events, then you can actually just post them on a different relay, and you'd be back up to speed with your conversations.
Yeah, and even just in my case where I run a private relay over VPN, all my notes are backed up. I know that they're backed up on my machine at home, so I can always pull those and push them to other relays. That's and that includes my contact list and block list and my metadata, my profile metadata, all that stuff.
So if we go back to the spam conversation, I think it's kind of interesting how you basically say like using the proof of work method is you're kind of like disintermediating the payment method, because people can go and pay a proof of work provider in whatever payment method they want, and then that proof of work could be submitted.
So the difficulty adjustment is the market. So I was thinking about this morning in the sense that let's say spam gets even worse and even spammers are paying, you know, I don't know, maybe they probably wouldn't be paying money for proof of work, but let's say, you know, they're running their own ASICs and they're able to spam, like maybe, you know, spam proof of work providers could, you know, build bigger ASIC farms and you could pay more so that you make sure that, but that in some sense, the market should be difficulty adjusting the amount of bits you need in the proof of work. So I just think that was an interesting idea. And another cool thing about the protocol is that it allows you to filter on prefixes of IDs, not just IDs themselves. So I can say I'm looking for 8 leading zeros on this ID. So if let's say I marked my thread as I expect 8 zeros on the front of my ID, then I can easily filter all spam from my thread that way. So that's another benefit.
But so then my next question is, why not just accept sats directly?
Yeah, so one issue with this is that, now you're saying to post this particular relay, I need to pay sats to get my message on that particular relay. But if I don't have sats, then, and I wanted to get a message to that relay so that someone on that relay can read it, they might not be able to do that. Where I feel like proof of work kind of, it doesn't really matter the way you pay. It just really comes down to the market.
That's more of like an adoption issue, right? Like in a post-Bitcoin world, everyone should be able to pay sats.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's kind of what we're trying to get across here is that, you know, Nostra isn't really like a Bitcoin project, but, you know, Bitcoin is, I think Bitcoin's going to be a big part of it, Lightning payments, but it doesn't need to be. It's more of a more general like information relay system where there could be many different ways to do things.
Well, I mean, I think it's cool that there's optionality and that the different relay operators can choose what they want to do and that they're still interoperable. But I mean, isn't there a strong argument there that by doing it with sats, you're basically providing a direct incentive to the relay operators to basically run a reliable relay that isn't inundated with spam and garbage and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I personally would do it with sats. I can't imagine. I mean, if I really wanted to make it easier for plebs, I can, or the normies, then I can, you know, make a Stripe integration or something. But yeah, I mean, sats is the way to go.
Because I feel like one of the failure points of Mastodon is there's only really two reasons. I guess there's three reasons to run a Mastodon instance. One is that you're just using your own instance, so you don't have to be subservient to anybody. So you're just basically running it for yourself and maybe a few friends. And then like the second reason is like ideological. And then the third reason is a control play. Like if NVK is evil and he runs the Bitcoin Hackers instance, he can make sure that like Foundation Devices and all of his adversaries aren't allowed to have access to it. So he gets some kind of indirect benefit from having control. But there's no like monetary, there's no direct incentive for someone to run a Mastodon instance. But in this case, there could be for a Nostra relay.
Yeah, like authoritarians love like ActivityPub and Mastodon instances because they get to like have that power, like banning people and controlling their own like feudal society. But you know, I feel like Nostra is definitely more of the free market. You know, you can charge in different ways, and you know. I don't know. I kind of like it on that aspect.
So another point I had here is like a problem I have on Twitter today is that sometimes I want to post something in Portuguese to some completely unrelated Bitcoin topic, but I got a lot of people that like my Bitcoin related English posts. So I think that would annoy them. So I don't do it. And I also see sometimes people I follow because their Twitter, their Bitcoin stuff, and they post stuff in Turkish or Russian or whatever. And that's very annoying for me. And I think if you had different relays with different communities, like, and you could like, oh, my post is about this topic, we'll go only to this relay, and my post about the other topic will go to the other relay. That would solve this problem.
I guess in my head, that kind of goes with Kook's like Reddit concept, right? Because Reddit is already separated into communities, but you use the same username, but you can post in like maps, r/maps or like r/Bitcoin, depending on what you want to talk about.
And there's another way to do it. Like one issue I have on Twitter is that I like to tweet about a variety of topics, and some people just follow me for, let's say, Bitcoin, maybe not Nostra, and they're like, stop talking about Nostra. I'm like, but I'm obsessed with Nostra in the past like months, so that's all I've been tweeting about. So Nostra has a way to add tags, like metadata to a note. So I was thinking maybe if you could just say, hey, this post is about Nostra, this post is about Bitcoin, and people can selectively filter that out. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
But this is not really possible today. Or it'd be easy to implement, but it's not implemented.
I mean, I'm definitely going to implement it in my client, but yeah, other clients would have to implement it. We have to start speccing this stuff so people can start implementing it. We need more developers. So
the beauty of Nostr is that it's so easy to implement these kind of things. It's like once you agree on a specific, you know, either a tag or a kind or something, it's like super simple to just say, okay, I'll implement it in a day or two. Like it's really not that much of a hassle. Like literally Nostr at the base of it is literally just a piece of JSON content that you just create. Like there's really not much to it. It's JSON and WebSockets. Like there's not much to it. Like any website developer can build a Nostr client or Relay.
And this was my issue with ActivityPub and Mastodon is that their protocol is extremely complicated. I probably spent like a year trying to build an ActivityPub node, and it just was such a pain in the ass that I just eventually gave up. But this one, I don't even have to write a node. It's just write a client, which is easier. Maybe not easier, but.
I mean, the Relay code is almost just as simple. It's more about, like, the only complicated part is making sure that you, like, the extra complication is that you have a database involved, and that's really all to it. But yeah, I mean, if you can write a client, the Relay part is just getting those messages and putting them into a database somewhere.
Yeah, guys, Nostr is
a Relay without a database.
Nostr is cutting edge tech. It's just databases that you can like replicate to each other. It's like pretty mind blowing, innovating tech.
Someone suggested to have a Relay that doesn't have a database. It's just stateless. And it keeps stuff on memory for a while and then deletes it.
So I'm actually going to implement that. So it's funny you mentioned that. I'm going to implement that for my iOS notifications because I realized I don't need to store anything. I just need to look at a pub key and associate that with a device. And the minute I see that, I can just send an iOS notification. So that's going to be one of those use cases.
I mean, you can also, that could actually work as a use case for some specific styles of how to use Nostr. Like if you wanted to build, let's say, some kind of coin joint coordinator for Bitcoin, which needs to live for only a short period of time, that could actually work as well. But like you don't need a database to persist the data to it. You just need, you know, a memory storage of who is joining, the inputs, outputs, boom, broadcast transaction, you're good to go.
But we are eventually
like a game server, like the people joining a game of Worms Armageddon or something, and it just needs the state to be kept for the duration of the game.
But we are going to switch to Solana, right? Just for like maximum speed and scale.
Yes, yes, that's planned for the end of the year.
That was a joke.
I hope most people are aware it was a joke. It hits a little close to home though. You guys seem pretty glowing about Nostr, but what are the pain points have you guys seen? Have you seen any pain points yet? Like what are your concerns as this thing gets built out?
Oh, one thing I wanted to mention is that some people come to the chat and ask like, oh, I want to experiment Nostr, what do I install? And it's, there's not that, I think the mentality shouldn't be that for now at least, because there's no Nostr you can install. That's just the idea and some clients that implement parts of the idea. So if people come thinking they get a full product, like completely built, and they can just judge based on that. That won't happen. We need more developers implementing more of the ideas and experimenting with all this stuff.
Yeah, I think Fiat Jeff said that, yeah, don't expect like this rosy garden or anything. It's if you're going to get into it right now, you're going to suffer. But it's not really meant for it's not really meant for users at the moment. I think we need more developers. We need more people experimenting. Our clients are crap. I'm trying to make a better client, but it's only for iOS. So if we could get an Android client, that'd be great. Android developers, we need those. Some more web clients. Just yeah, no more developers. Get people into this.
So I mean, for the developers that are listening, like, what's the best way for them to contribute?
I mean, there's probably a client in like three or four or five different languages at this point. So there's multiple options for most devs to be able to join in. I have a C-sharp client, I have a C-sharp library, I have a C-sharp relay as well. So, you know, I'm hitting every point from my end, but I'm sure there's, I think Fyodorov has one in Go, if I remember correctly.
I have a library in Go and a command line client that is very incomplete, but could use some help. I have a Go relay library that you can just, like, you can just reuse it and implement the parts of the relay that you want to customize, and it does the basic stuff for you. There's the Brenly web client. There's a guy working on a Haskell desktop client. There's a guy working on an Android client, but we don't know exactly what he's doing. Maybe he's just saying he's not working, and actually there's a client in Clojure that are like very much for desktop that was made by a friend of that guy, Uncle Bob Martin, that some people know. Uncle Bob Martin also was working on a client for Clojure, I think.
Yeah, I love that Uncle Bob's on this. Like, I see him posting on his client every now and then. I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah, I didn't know this guy, but apparently he's an idol for a bunch of people.
Yeah, and I'm working on an iOS client in Swift, so hopefully really soon.
I mean, can you run that on desktop or something?
You can run on Mac OS, but Android desktop.
I mentioned discovery earlier, and Fyodorov seems like he's pretty content with the discovery model of just following one person and then seeing who they talk to, and then following those people and seeing who they talk to.
Yes.
Yeah, go on.
So I think I brought this up before, but Francis came on. He was talking about how do I discover people. So I actually created a cool Bitcoiners account, and I started adding people to that contact list. So kind of cool Bitcoiners, right? And I gave the private key to that account to Francis. So this is an interesting idea where you kind of, and maybe down the line, this will get into like multi-sig Schnorr or something where you can share an account with other people. But I gave him the private key so he can add people to that list. So, you know, contact lists are a part of the protocol right now. So you can actually, they're kind of like Twitter lists. So I thought that might be one interesting way to do discoverability, so to have these lists that are published.
So my client says that you are currently following maybe 25 people. Is that correct?
Sounds about right.
But most of them are just bare pub keys.
Yeah. So this is again an issue, I guess, with the Brownlight client. With my client, it actually syncs all contacts, so it'll render the names. But again, you can't really rely on the names because someone could be faking that and trick you. So this is why
I'm very like, I don't like JavaScript bloating my browser, so I try to limit the amount of data and connections, but I think that's a mistake for me. So the client only loads stuff when you click. It loads a little bit of them, but if you click on the others, it will load the others.
Yeah, as I click, the names are coming up. Like, I just found cool Bitcoiners. Now I can't. I just found Keegan, but I can't see their follow list. I guess it's going to take a little bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't judge Nostra based off Brownlight. I mean, I love Brownlight. You don't get me wrong, yeah, Jeff, but it's got some optimization to do.
Well, the idea was I had this Nostra idea for a long time, and a lot of people were liking it, and there was no client, no one was using, no one. So I said, I must do something that's usable at least. So I did Brownlight, and then more people became interested. So I think it served his role in the dissemination.
But I think the plan is that it's gonna be killed after we get a good client.
So is there a better client that's usable right now that's got a GUI?
I'm not sure about that. My client is worse than Brownlight for sure.
I just use my command line.
That's why I put the GUI clarifier in there.
So, you know, that's why we need devs. We need devs. Help us out, please.
So on the discovery, UX guys, not devs.
Mr. Kooks, like, how do I find your account? Like, what's the easiest way for me to follow you on this show?
Man, honestly, like, I don't even use Nostra in a persistent way. Like, my client is like literally with no with no backing to it. So every time I load up my client, it just creates a new pub key for me. So,
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. So I'm like in no persistent state whatsoever in this world. I think we will end up with better clients. It's more about actually finding a proper, you know, market fit for it. Like, you know, it's very easy to build these very simplistic things where you can browse events, have a new private key generated, follow a bunch of people, message a bunch of people, but you actually want some random guy to show up and like, hey, I'm building a startup on your Nostr idea. I'm going to make a bunch of money off you guys. I hope that's okay. And you want him to, you want us to be like, oh, that's awesome. I hope you make a buttload of money and actually promote the idea a bit better. Because that's the guy that's going to fund devs and UX guys to actually build a proper client for you.
Yeah, that is kind of my master plan right now. I do want to turn Domus into like a Slack or even just like a Slack / private Twitter for your organization. That's kind of my master plan for my app. So hopefully I get there and kind of charges this a bit. But for now, we need more clients.
So since William has told me, has revealed here that I'm terrible at making clients, and Damos or whatever is going to conquer the world, I think we should focus, that's my plan at least, to focus on some of the other use cases like the joint market stuff that Cooks mentioned. And I think there are a bunch of other ideas that don't fit the Twitter model, and they're like a wiki. Some guy suggested a wiki that like a global wiki that you can find posts from anyone, and you can choose the edits you want, and the post would have tags with the name of the article and it would link to other articles. And when you click, like if you're browsing football and you click the ball, you get an article for the ball, but you get multiple options from multiple people, and then you can choose the one you want. And other stuff like the DLC stuff, the DLC guys, I think they're looking for a way to solve the DLC liquidity thing, because you can't really find other people to bet with unless you know the person and you talk to the person, etc. So I think it'd be nice to have a decentralized order book of DLC bets, bet offers and stuff like that. And also for the oracles to announce themselves, I think Nostr would fit very nicely in that. One idea that like inspired Nostr was the Diagon Alley idea that Ben Ark created for when he just created the Ellen Bits. He wanted to make Ellen Bits an Ellen Bits app that would allow you to register some products, and then it would create for you a list of products you would be selling, and then people wouldn't have to connect directly to your Ellen Bits instance to browse your products, because these products would be sent to an indexer, and the indexer is a server running somewhere that would render post like the offerings from multiple shops. And when someone wants to buy stuff, they would go to the indexer, not to the shop directly. And I think this matches perfectly to Nostr.
That would be awesome, yeah. That would also be awesome. It's because in BTC Pay as well, we have this concept of point of sale apps with items in them and crowdfunding apps with perks inside them. And at one point, I was going to do it so that you can connect them all together so that you can get a directory of items. But it would be so much better if you just had like a Nostr relay where you can just post these products to, and then they would just show up for everyone in a unified way. I guess you can kind of recreate the experience of Open Bazaar, but without the centralized server. Well, I mean, there's still a centralized server, but it's still, you know, more portable.
Multiple servers.
Yeah, exactly.
Open Bazaar is such a failure because no one would install that big bloated thing to be able to browse some nothings. But exactly. If you just visit the page and see the product, it's much easier.
I totally forgot about that project.
Yeah, but they legitimately added Solana, so they have that going for them.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Oh my god. I don't know. They rebranded, right? It's a different name now.
Closed Bazaar.
They took a bunch of VC money too, which is always the poison pill. It seems like all these use cases we're talking about signed messages, but presumably because you have a public key, private key pair, you could do encrypted messages too, right?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there is direct messages between users, which is, you know, like encrypted end to end. So you don't have, you can post a message specifically between two persons, and only those two people can actually look at the message and decrypt it. So you can actually recreate like a Signal experience, except group messages, because that's still not possible. But you can recreate these kind of things to do.
Yeah, and you could definitely do group messages. It's just a matter, and we were talking about that in
the implementation thing, right?
Yeah, it's all about how do you generate that shared secret. In the case of a DM, it's you take the pub key and your secret key. But in a group setting, it could just be a different way to generate that shared secret. So you could definitely do it.
But so then, presumably, like every project that Fiat Jaff hates on Lightning that wants to use Onion messages could use Nostr instead.
Yes, I would really recommend that instead.
What projects are using Onion messages?
I don't know. I just feel like you're always complaining on Twitter when someone wants to use Onion messages.
And he's just not a big fan of onions. Like, do you have something against onions?
I want to leave the onions for me to eat. So. No, stop using the onions.
So, I mean, there could even be like, a big thing is like this idea of like reusable invoices on Lightning. You could just serve invoices through Nostra, right? Like it could just hit a Nostra relay ask for you to give a new invoice and you hit them, right?
Yep.
For sure. You can do, like, you can kind of do the DNS resolution stuff through a Nostra relay instead of like a domain name if you wanted to. Like I was actually thinking about that the other day as well. Like you can even, like, you know how Bit47 requires that transaction to do the handshake? Right. Maybe you can bypass that and just do it over
Nostra.
Over Nostra events, you know? I mean, you can do so many things over Nostra and it won't cost you and bloat the blockchain just to do it. So Bit47 notifications, LN URL, that kind of stuff can happen over in Nostra instead of DNS or blockchain, op returns.
One thing I wanted to mention was, you know, we could actually create a Signal alternative if we have some smart crypto people to come in and put together a double ratchet spec on Nostra. So yeah, we have encrypted DMs, but if your key was ever leaked, then all your DMs are leaked, which is not ideal, but there's no reason why you couldn't implement something like Signal on top of Nostra. So that is something I would be really interested in. I'm not a crypto person, so if anyone is like would like to think about that on Nostra, I would love to hear them, and I can implement that in my app.
The big problem with that is the metadata that leaks, like if you're using public relays, could be solved if you use like a private relay that promises to not review your metadata. I don't know if there's a better way.
And then you're still trusting them in that situation that they're actually not keeping logs, right?
Yeah. I think for now, I think you should maybe focus more on the public stuff, like public groups, public chat groups and public posting. And
yeah.
These other protocols that are interesting that William made a notebook thing that I wanted to use, but I don't have an iPhone. Anyway, it could be a separate app instead of being stuck inside the apps that do social thing.
So what Fiat Jaff is referring to is I created a Nostra account that's called my notepad at gp55.com, and I've been using it as a notepad as like Twitter threads. So, and I'm like, oh, just as an experiment, because in the future I could potentially create a view, or someone could create an app as a view that renders that thread as a notepad, like a threaded notepad, which might be interesting.
And what is this, a little bit unrelated, but in my settings, I have like this NIPO5 identifier.
I don't know if Fiat, I can explain that, but unless you want to.
I think it's better if you explain.
So it's really simple. It's very much like that whole, if you're familiar with LN URLs or basically, there's a well-known path on your web server. So it does require you to run some infrastructure, some web servers, but you know, it's like dot well known dash. I think
it's like the Nostra. Lightning address resolution thing.
Yeah. So it's slash Nostra.json. Inside that JSON file, you have a mapping from pub keys to a username. And so basically clients can use that to confirm that a pub key maps to your domain. So that's just a way to.
And this is why you and Fiat Jaff are blue checks, because you own the website that is your username.
Yeah, so you can imagine one day there's like a domus.io, and then people, it's like a Twitter where people can sign up and they would get like their username at domus.io, and then and they would have like an official username.
Yeah, and just to clarify, like this gives your human readable username. That's pretty much like the Mastodon stuff, but you're not. That username is not your identity. Like, once the person finds you, they will follow your pub key.
It's the pub
follow
key.
Your name.
Yeah.
But what about? I'm sorry if any of these. I'm just brainstorming live on air. Is there something there about using, you know, your Lightning pub key, signing a message with your Lightning node instead of running a web server to prove who you are?
You could totally create Lightning or Nostra messages from your Lightning node's private key. Well, it might be interesting. And then I don't know if it would map directly to Nostra pub key, but.
I was just thinking, like, if the client just allows you to. Oh, I guess the relay would have to do the challenge response, right? Not the client. So that
could be
really
any.
Work.
Could be any of those. Yeah. You mean like the Lightning node could use its own pub key, and then the relay or the client could check if that Lightning node exists and has channels. Like this is one way to prevent spam, I think. But I don't think it's very easy to do it now, to reuse your Lightning node pub key right like that.
I mean, I was thinking like the way, like you can sign a message with your key, your Lightning keys to like access a website to sign in. But this is on the client, that's on the client side. So it wouldn't really work in this situation, right?
It would definitely. You could sign an event and use it to log in with your Nostra identity, regardless of where that pub key came from. But I was thinking, like, the idea, you reminded me of another way to prevent spam is that you could take a key pair and make a Bitcoin address from that. And then some relay or some client would require you to have some money on that address. Some pretext there to allow you message from you. So that's an anti-spam way to. Anyway.
I just stumbled on not JB55, and it has all caps locks, key compromised. This is not my account. What's the story with that?
Oh my God. I was testing. So I was working on a command line app called Nostril. I know I'm really good at naming things. But it's basically just a C application that can generate Nostra events. And I like fudged the environment variable so that I'd made a post that just broadcasted my secret key. So I'm like, oh shit. But luckily it was actually pretty easy to migrate just to a new key. I just like copied my old contact list to a new key and then just like move my NIP05 to the new account, and it was done. And I migrated pretty easily. So it was a nice learning experience. But since then I'm working on a spec that where private key material is actually encoded differently, so that if you actually try to accidentally tweet your private key, maybe clients can detect that and stop you from doing something stupid. But yeah.
Yeah, that's very much needed. I'm very confused about the key formats as they are. Yeah,
so we're thinking about just using batch 32 and then having a specific prefix for private keys and public keys. Kind of might be ideal.
Sorry, I'm just clicking around Nostra right now. I keep getting distracted. So you guys have anything else you want to talk about? I mean, I think this has been a great conversation. I don't really know enough about Nostra to know what my next question is.
From my end, most of my use cases around Nostra are going to be around not building the alternative to Twitter.
So I fucked up the title of the podcast.
No,
I mean, no, we don't need to.
I like those use cases. I love Twitter. I love using Twitter. I actually don't mind that Elon took over Twitter. I think it's fine. I think it's the better situation than we were before. But we're always going to run in that situation where, you know, maybe Elon won't be there all the time, and we're still going to need a decentralized solution of like a decentralized information relaying protocol that doesn't currently exist. So regardless, I think it's interesting to be working on this, and to I really like the private Twitter use cases, to have that within your own organization, and then having events being generated from your business, and you can respond to it, and then jump into a Slack room based off those events and things like that. I don't know. There's a lot of interesting use cases, which I think are have yet to been kind of discovered. So,
if you want, I can cite more use cases I've been noting. Like one is that, remember that this website was very popular in Brazil called FormSpring, and you like the social network of people asking questions to others. It was a very fun thing, and you just ask questions and the person would respond. That's one thing that has died. Those networks where you post where you are, like I'm in this shop, whatever. These things, they could be done on Nostr too.
Yeah.
You could have Git over Nostr. I'm not sure exactly how, but it's possible for sure.
Yeah, and just keep replace Radical, right? You don't need that.
Yeah, Radical is very, very cool, but
they're starting to shitcoin now.
Yeah, too much shitcoin there.
You have 4chan on Nostr. You want to do a 4chan thing where it gets rid of messages after a couple of days or something?
You could have to like a central closed website, like many websites that exist that are closed. And if they use Nostr as their backend, they become like an easy exportable thing. And I think that could be a marketing thing for them and also for users too.
Blog comments.
Blog comments. Decentralized Uber. Uber, co-working, Airbnb, Wasabi coordinator announcements. If there are multiple Wasabi coordinators that want to announce themselves, they could have a marketplace.
What can't Nostr do, Fiat Jeff? What can it do?
Oh, well, it can't do StarCraft networking.
Oh.
That's the thing, Cooks.
If you give me that challenge, I'm going to try to do it now.
Mr. Cook said we were going to do that, but I don't think it's a good idea. You remember that Sneaker proposal for Sneaker? I think it would be nice to do it on Nostr instead of using the blockchain, the Bitcoin blockchain for it.
Yeah, it's the same with all these op return or analyzing the entire UTXO set to find something compatible with what you want to do. You can replace all that blockchain bloat or scanning with just posting a message to Nostr instead. I think that would be a lot more useful.
Seems like a great complement to Bitcoin tools just across the board.
I'm already seeing that with my Bitcoin Core node and my C-Lightning node, and just getting events from them. It's just been because I think Bitcoin has created this new situation where I actually really care about the privacy of my UTXOs, and I run these nodes at home. And I want to make sure that I have private info that I can still access on my phone. So I don't know. I think it really complements a lot of the Bitcoin tools.
Yeah. You see that Agora, that thing that you sell files. I think selling files is nice, but the way it's being done, like you don't have a central place to go browse files to buy. So Big Nostr solves that too. I open an issue on their repo to integrate, but of course they just of shooting the work to them.
So one huge issue on Nostr right now is image sharing. It's not really, it doesn't make sense to spec it into Nostr because Nostr is not meant for like sharing large media, but it's actually pretty important. Most people like to share a picture like on the Twitter feed or something. That's something I'm thinking about right now in my client. Like, how do I do image posts? Because there's like, it's not a part of the protocol. So
how are you going to do it?
I don't know, paid service. I don't want to charge people for like to do file uploads just for file uploads, but maybe I'll make it more of an experience. It'll just include file uploads.
They could pay some sats to host a file.
some people suggested how, like, being able to configure, this is, these are pretty advanced, but like configuring SFTP or your personal S3 or maybe S3 bucket, AWS credentials, or like, there's a lot of things you can do if you're like technical, but for non-technical people, like, I don't know if there's a good solution other than.
AWS is not a good solution for technical people either. Like, yeah. How many API keys or whatever you have to create an IAM account or, I don't know. Yeah. I think paying is good if you could pay to host files.
If anyone has ideas, someone suggested like an Imgur API or something. I'm like, oh, I don't know if that'll work. But
I mean, then you're just holding all the photos on Imgur servers.
Yeah, so it's an open question. Anyone have any ideas? Love to hear them.
So I noticed there's a character count. Is that on the client side or the relay side?
Could be either though.
Yeah, on Brownlee, on client side, it's very bad. I should have removed that.
Yeah, I'm actually using it as a paste bin. My client doesn't have a limit, so I've just been like posting code snippets that I refer to, which is, I don't know if that's kind of frowned upon, but I know it's kind of cool.
I mean, because I wanted to, when I posted the first time, I wanted to post a PGP signed message and I couldn't fit it. So it'd be nice if.
Gotta use a different app.
Character count was higher if I'm just doing requests.
gotta use a better app.
What about upvotes and
stop
likes?
Stop trashing my app.
Sorry, it's so easy.
What about upvotes and likes? How do we feel about that?
I mean, I'm implementing likes and retweets right now. I think lightning tips are going to be next after that. Totally doable. There's another note type that you just
accumulate. Is that client side or relay side?
It's going to require. I mean, relays don't have to change anything. It's just going to, clients are going to create a new note type that you query on. So
you're basically sending a note that says, I like this.
Yeah. And you got to be smart about it in the sense, maybe not count the same. Like if someone creates multiple like events, you don't want to count those twice. But for the most part, it's okay. And there's also issues, let's say spam bots are creating lots of like events and like you count those. So maybe there's a reputation system around it. So it gets kind of complicated, but most people aren't even using Nostra. So I'm not really worrying about that right now. Right. So just something simple to start, I think.
I know there's I think VHF has an open pull request for a reputation scheme, but I haven't looked at it yet.
Oh yeah. It's very, very simple web of trust thing, but with categories, like you would trust someone on some category but not on others, and it was meant to be on the marketplace thing I was going to work on, but I jumped into other things. I'll go back to it someday. And like all these marketplaces, decentralized marketplaces, they need some reputation thing. So like basically, oh yeah, one big use case I wanted to make but I couldn't yet is just people exchanging Bitcoin for fiat. Based on reputation only, and this would not so would be the marketplace.
I guess that could kind of emulate the workflow that happens on BISC, right?
Yeah,
BISC. Where you need, yeah.
I don't know, BISC is so complicated.
Yeah, you can make a simplified version of it.
I was thinking
BISC. Just a trusted thing, like I send you the money and I trust you to give me my coin. And that works in many places. There are many people that do this kind of deal. And I think a little reputation goes a long way. And you could do like small amounts too. So but you could do the BISC style too, if you want.
And then we have a question. By the way, as we were talking about spam, we got a spam message in Twitch, which I thought was hilarious, by followers, primes, and viewers. But we got a different message in Twitch asking about the origin of the name. I know it stands for notes and other stuff transmitted by relays, but is there a story behind that, or did you just like decide one day that you were gonna?
Well, I'm very good at naming things. So I just came, the inspiration came. No, actually, I was asking people what name should be, and Super Testnet gave me an idea. Like he suggested something that was like that. And then I just tweaked it to Nostra and found like a good a good like full name for the acronym. I don't know if it's a good name or whatever.
None of us know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very good name. Yeah, that's the criteria.
I think we can all
feature,
agree.
Not a bug.
I think we can all agree that Fiat Jeff is really good at naming things. So.
Well, LNTX Mod is a good name.
Yeah.
Very straight to the point. Yeah, well, guys, this has been a fantastic conversation. I implore all our listeners to go check out Nostra, provide feedback, play around with it. If you're a developer, consider contributing. Do you guys have any, while I have you here, do you have any opinions on this BIP 119 controversy?
I've been trying to stay out of it. I mean, I can see why people want covenants, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm personally not interested, so I've been trying to stay out of the fight, but I am concerned that it was kind of getting pushed through pretty quickly without the lots of other review and other ways of looking at it. I don't know. It just feels wrong the way that it's been that it went about, but
yeah, I love covenants, but I'm staying out of it.
Well, I'm for it. I think we should do it as quickly as possible. And what I think some of the arguments of people that don't want it are not very sound, in my opinion. And anyway, you should read what Jeremy is saying. Jeremy is being very insightful in the things he's posting.
I do like the Vault use case, and then James's demo of that is pretty cool. I don't know if that's enough to like warrant pushing it through, but it is a really cool use case.
Well, I'm interested in space chains because I want to make a space chain for domain names and replace DNS and ICAM. That's all I care. That's all I want. Like Bitcoin has solved money, and now Bitcoin will solve DNS. And I don't think there's any more
anything. So you want a space name coin?
Yeah, not a space chain without any coins. It's just the names and anchored on Bitcoin. No shit coins, no tokens.
Yeah.
On the note of shit coins, Fiat Jeff, what are your thoughts on Taro?
Oh, I don't like the shit coins. I don't like tokens. I understand that some people want these things and has market. And so it's fine, but I think space chains are a better solution for people that want to make tokens. I just said no tokens, but you could have a space chain for issued assets like dollar tokens, etc.
So if we have BIP 119 with CTV, we get space chains without anything else?
We get a space chain, yeah. Or either BIP 119 or BIP 118. You can do it with any of those. Yeah.
And what's the trade-offs of space chains?
It's a separate blockchain that you can publish stuff on it, but it doesn't have a native currency. So there's no trade-offs, basically. It's magical. But you have to mine that separate blockchain, and you mine it by anchoring it on a Bitcoin transaction. An entire space chain block fits in one transaction, one Bitcoin transaction.
And then do you get paid for that?
Yeah, the miner is the person that gets paid for the space chain users and pays for the Bitcoin transaction. And
where they get paid in?
Yeah, that's the trade-off. That's the problem. Ruben Sonson proposed the idea of having a space coin. That is a coin that is created from burning Bitcoins that use it to pay miners on the space chain. But I don't like that. I think they could be paid off band, like in a trusted sense. Like you go to the miner website and say, mine this block piece for me, and they mine it. And it's censorship resistant because you can have multiple miners. Anyone can be a miner at any time. And the miners compete with each other by bidding on the transaction that goes on the Bitcoin blockchain. And they just, if there are more than one miner competing, they can outbid each other and not bloat the Bitcoin chain. They just, in the end of the bidding, one of them will publish one transaction with a high bid, a high fee to the Bitcoin chain.
So could you use Nostra in that bidding process?
The bidding process happens directly on the Bitcoin mempool. Like you're trying to publish the next block and you see that there's someone else outbidding your transaction, and you do outbid it if you have more money to, like, if you have more clients who are willing to pay you for, or you can wait for the next block too. But you don't need Nostr for that part. You could use Nostr for the space chain part, but coordinate the transaction being sent. If you don't want to build a new peer-to-peer system like Bitcoin for the space chain, if this pure space chain is very simple, you could use Nostr to propagate transactions there. So your transactions reach a node. There are many ways to do it. But the basic idea is that all cool blockchain use cases, you can do them now without any tokens or without any shitcoins. And there are some. There are these issued stable thing. There are maybe NFTs. I don't like them, but maybe there are some people like. And also the domain name thing. That's the most important one, I think. Why are you laughing?
No, we've just gone completely off track. I mean, I appreciate the insight. Before we wrap up, I guess let's wrap up with some final thoughts. Final thoughts, Mr. Kooks.
Yeah, we should really just keep on building on Nostr and not NFTs. Yeah.
No NFTs. Thank you, Mr. Kooks. Final thoughts, VHF.
Well, try Brownlee. try to make a better client. I challenge you, listener. Or maybe awesome. Improve Brownlee. That's better.
Thank you, VHF. Will, final thoughts.
Yeah, I think we got to the point where people think that these open protocols are just too hard to use, or even just like it's too hard to run your own nodes. And but we're starting to see different trade-offs in this like larger design space. Actually, it's not too hard to create this decentralized open protocol and to get into the network without having to run any nodes, right? So I think that is one important insight that Nostr provides, and I hope there are more protocols like this. And yeah, protocols are awesome, and we should try to use protocols instead of closed platforms.
Fuck yeah. I just one quick question before we end. The most relays are holding all of my messages, right? So I don't need to have my client online for you to view them.
Correct.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you guys. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate your work with Nostr. I came into this very undereducated on the implications of Nostr, but it seems like it is way larger than just a Twitter replacement. And I'm very bullish on that aspect. That seems really fucking cool and powerful. And I hope the freaks also found this conversation helpful and will contribute back and help this project grow. So with all that, I want to thank our guests one more time, and I want to thank everyone who joined us live. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. This is great.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
this is what you get when you mess with love.
Love you, freaks. I think I'm going to kick it with some Kendrick on vinyl. Stay humble, stack sets.